Are we ready? Part 2. We're at Matthew chapter 7. We are doing Sermon on the Mount more perfectly. This will be number 18. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7. We're looking at Judge not that you be not judged. We looked at the fact that the classic two verses that you hear from people today is Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 where it says, Judge not that you be not judged. Jesus wasn't even talking to the crowd. He was talking to the hypocrites in verse 5. And Jesus told the general crowd that they need to judge righteous judgment. They need to make right decisions. They need to do judgment. And this modern Christianity, or anybody today, thinks that if you say anything to anybody, that you're judging them. Yes, there are times you are judging them. And we'll find out that Paul's not big on that sort of a thing. However, people are so afraid of being judged today. And they go to Romans chapter 2 for the Christian then. They go to Romans chapter 2. It says, see right there. It still says, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. So they pull that out of Christians, not realizing that Romans chapter 2 is referring with the therefore up to chapter 1, which is a bunch of lousy, rotten, lost people who are they know the judgment of God, but they're having pleasure in doing against what God teaches. That's what he's talking about there. So that's not even written to us. That's why you have to be really careful when you rightly divide a Bible. Not only do you have to rightly divide it by book, not only do you have to rightly divide it by Paul, that which is perfect has come, you've got to be able to rightly divide within the books, because you don't have to go to college for this, not that kind of rightly dividing. You just tell in the context that verse 1 is not written to you because he says, therefore, thou is referring to chapter 1, which isn't you. It's being taught to you. You're not talking to you unless you're one of those who's not saved and you're thinking that you're saved and you're acting like a lost person. You have pleasure in doing things that goes against God. Maybe that is to you. But as a Christian, that's not written to us. But as far as the directions go. But that verse is written to us in the fact that we need to be able to point those things out. So Paul is very strong on judgment, actually. Then we talked real quick like this morning about, or very quickly this morning, about who was Paul to make any sermons on judgment. I mean, he was a Christian killer. He was a wretched man. He did things he shouldn't have done, and he didn't do things he should have done. Romans chapter 7. So we read through that. And really, who's Paul? Who was he to tell us anything? Because you know when you make some changes in your life and somebody else talks about it, or you go to be around somebody or whatever, they feel offended. They say, well, you're judging me because, well, I don't want to go do that anymore. Oh, so we're going to go to that and you're not. So then you're judging me as a whatever they're doing. No, I'm not judging you for that. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you dress like. I don't care what you say. I don't care where you go. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to dress like that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And they who think that we're judging them are actually judging us for wanting to do what we believe to be right according to a rightly divided King James Bible. It's that simple. So they look at us and they say, who are you to judge me? Well, look at Paul. Who is he to judge us? Well, he's not judging us. It's not what he's doing. So then we went on to Paul had that authority given to him in Corinthians. He was chosen of God. He was God's new workmanship. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was going to show us a more perfect way, a more excellent way, way of God more perfectly. He's to be the helper of our joy so we can stand stronger. He's the one the risen Savior went to teach us these things. He's the one that we're to follow. I mean, that's what it says. So we do. And one of the things he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, is we are to grow in judgment. And in fact, let's look at that just for a review this morning so we all get the Bibles marked the same. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, he says, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. So the more you love somebody, the more you're going to be concerned about judgment. Now we're going to find out this morning that, we're not finding out, we know this already, but we're going to preach up the fact Jesus... the risen Savior does not want us to judge other people, other brethren. But still, he says here that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. You don't want your kids to do things because you love them. Parents that don't love their children could care less what they do. They just let them grow up and be what they're going to be. I'm not going to ever teach my kid this. I'm not going to teach them that. They can make their own decisions in their life. That is not natural love towards a child, because we learned again this morning, we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that a child is somebody who can be tossed to and fro. You don't have to be 5 years old to be a child. You can be 50 years old and be a child. If you've got no confidence and you've got no solidity based on doctrine and stuff, you can be a Christian baby. You can be a Christian child. You can be tossed to and fro. And there's people out there looking to get you. There's people out there looking for these children. And a father who loves their children is going to protect them from these people. That's what you do. And you have to make judgment calls. You have to look at somebody and go, you know, I don't like how that guy looks. And it's not because he's necessarily not good looking or she's pretty. It's that there's something wrong there, and yeah, there's a thief there. There's a liar there. Sometimes some of the most dangerous person for your children is a relative. Because they are so tired of what you taught your children, they will do anything they can to teach them something different. So, if you love your child, you don't let them hang around that person alone. You just don't. I'm getting grumpy. Why are you getting grumpy, Sue? And the reason you don't do that is because you love them, see? And what you're doing is you're making a judgment call. And we have been, in the last some years, for some reason, we have had our judgment button taped up. We don't want to make judgments for our children. We don't want to make judgments for our family. Husbands don't want to make judgments for their wives or their children. We're afraid to make any judgment calls anymore because they're going to throw at you, judge not that you be not judged, or they're going to throw this thing at you in Romans chapter 2, and we're not doing that. We're just approving that which is excellent. We know the Lord likes this based on rightly dividing, so we're not going to do this. You want to go do this? Have at it. I'm not going to come over and do that with you. That's all you're saying. But that is making a judgment call, and you're making it for yourself. No, my kids can't go over and do that. No, they can't hang around you. Well, why not? Are you judging me? No. I'm making a judgment call for my child. I'm going to protect my child, and no, they can't go over there. Where's our judgment? We're afraid that we're going to hurt our children's feelings by making a judgment call. Well, they're going to get mad and get hurt because we're making a judgment. We're judging them for something. And if our kids grow up without any judgment in their life, they're not going to make any judgment, and things are going to get that much worse. And it's really too bad. What does Paul teach about judgment? What do we need to know here about this? Is very practical this morning. And so we went over this thing. That was the Sunday school part. That was kind of what we touched base on in the Sunday school part. We got to the point where in Romans chapter 14 now, Paul does tell us to judge, that sort of a thing. But now Romans chapter 14 is where the meat kind of hits the blade, I guess. Well, the blade hits the meat, depending upon what side of the deal you're on. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. I mean, we have problems within our homes and in our church because judgment calls weren't made when they should have been made. It's that simple. Or we've got somebody making a judgment within a family or within a church that it's not their job to make that judgment. Or they're making a judgment that isn't supposed to be made in that fashion. For example, Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Set at naught means you don't pay any attention to them. You could care less what they have to say. That's setting somebody at naught. You don't care what they have to say. That's a judgment call. You'll see that in some cases you need to be that way. That's a judgment call to make over this particular thing, but not judging your brother for it necessarily. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, if we just stop there and think about that, meditate on that thought, someday we will stand before the Lord. Now, it's easy. It's easy? Yeah, our sin is not going to be there. Yes, but our sin that we've chosen to follow, which Paul calls bad works, will be there and it'll be judged. So it's still going to come up. But yeah, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And near as I can tell, it will not do us any good to say, well, did you know that such and such caused me to do this? That just isn't going to work. And as we get older, that judgment seat concept comes around a little bit closer. So, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. And I'm okay with that. I will be down faster than any of you if we all went at the same time. I'll come in crawling. That's the Lord. He paid for our freedom, for our liberty. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. I'm okay with that too. I'm totally okay with that. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm not okay with that. I'm just not. I mean, I serve my flesh and I serve that sin. It's there, the flesh, the things I don't do, I should do, the things I do, I shouldn't do. Oh, I'm sorry. You probably just lost all your image and respect of your pastor now. Oh, wait a minute. I've lifted you all too high too. Because you're in the same boat. You followed your flesh and you followed your sin and you said things you shouldn't have said. You've gone places you shouldn't have gone to. And you've not done things you should have done and blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. So I guess that takes care of us. We've got the judgment seat to stand before. Okay, that's fine. Sure glad it's not the white throne, aren't you? White throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, 11 through 15. That's for the lost person. They're not going to want to stand in front of God. They're going to be begging. They're going to talk about, where's my lawyer? Where's my lawyer? And the Lord will say, I would have been your lawyer, but you didn't hire me. So that kind of a thing. It's not like one of those things you get in emails, doesn't it? All that junk you get. And I went to this room with a bunch of cards. You ever seen that one? And this dark room, and there's this big file box of cards. And we go through this list, and these are my sins. Oh, no. And you go through the first drawer. Oh, here's my first sin. Oh, no. And then along comes this man, and he says, I'll take care of that now. That kind of junk, you know. No. You know what happens if we went into a room and you pulled out your cards? Your file drawer would be empty. That's how wrong that email is. Modern Christianity. Who's on there this morning?
Mark and now that's Jason Gray. Andrea Edders.
Okay. This is that junk that comes in the email stuff that's wrong. It teaches a false concept, a false teaching. If you're saved, your file drawer with cards has nothing in it. You pull that drawer out and it's empty. It's not, here's all the list of your sins, it's your judgment, and God will take them one by one and forgive them. No, your drawer is empty. And it's not because you stopped sinning, it's because He got rid of the law, so there's no sin being imputed. Nothing's, hardly ever do I get an email from this modern internet religious Pony Express stuff. Hardly any of that stuff is doctrinally correct. Hardly any of it, if any of it. Stirs me up on that junk. Because you know people believe that stuff. They know more about that story with all the cards in this card room than they know their Bible. So whatever. So we see here though that it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Yes, we will. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You remember that one in Thessalonians chapter 3 where it talks about if a brother is not following Paul's teachings and his way is disorderly, that you're supposed to step aside and get away from him. Remember, that thing doesn't say that he's not your enemy. You're not judging the person for what they're doing. You are getting out of the situation. That's all it is. That's all we do. When we say no to going someplace, or we know to wearing something, or we say no to this or whatever, you're not judging anybody out there. You're doing for yourself what you believe to be right. It's a judgment call. Yes, you're judging. You're not judging them. You're judging that I shouldn't be doing this. And that's the call you make. And they hit us up for being judgmental. Anyway. Now look at this. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. There is a little difference here. And this is going to show the importance of words in the Bible. It's going to show how much better we have it when our judgment seat rolls along. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, I think it is, because I circled it and crossed right over the numbers. I think that's 12 verse 36. We just read, Paul says, every one of us should give account of himself to God. Matthew 12, 36 says what? But I say unto you, okay, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Day of judgment is the white throne judgment. Every word, every thought that they've got, every idle word, We have to give account. And what do we have to give account for? Ourself. What is ourself? Our works. Ourself. It says there back in Romans, every one of us should give account of himself. What's that? That's what you've done. Well, that's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about. Was what you've done. And because you've actually trusted Christ and He's taken away the sin and He's washed away the sin, hasn't imputed any, it has nothing to do with that. So, in the day of in the dispensation of grace, it's our works that we'll be accountable for. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 2. This is review, but I hope it helps you explain to somebody. If somebody says to you, or if you in here think that I'm just a Mr. Judgment Man here, thinking I judge you for what you do and don't do, it's close. Because like I said this morning in Sunday school, we have been with Paul for at least 2004, for at least 5 years, solidly for about 3 years, unabashedly, is that right? Unabashedly rock solid for about 2 years, grumpy for about a year, running out of patience for about 6 months, and ready to just light my fire in the last couple weeks. Because we have been with Paul for all this time. And we read again in Sunday school this morning that a child is tossed to and fro every wind of doctrine. We talked about that. We have no excuse, most of us in this room right now, have no excuse for being tossed to and fro with any other doctrine that's floating around, any other book that's teaching false doctrine, or any, the teachings that are being twisted and construed. I don't think construed is something. Twisted and twisted. Let's stick with one word, okay? Twisted. That it isn't what's going on. You should know by now what it is to teach truth and not be tossed to and fro. That's a child that lets that happen. We should no longer be children by now in this church about what we're preaching and teaching. Romans chapter 2, verse 16 tells us that we will be judged by Paul's gospel. Romans 2, 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Well, that's true. We know that. He's the one that's been assigned to the judgment time. But he says it's going to be by Paul's gospel. Not Jesus' gospel, my gospel. If it was supposed to be Jesus' gospel that Paul preaches in 2 Corinthians 5:17, 5, well, let's see here. Wrong way. I do it too, by the way. Ever watch me sometimes I go the wrong direction? You do it all the time too. It's okay. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what people call Paul's gospel. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also are ye saved. If you keep in memory, I deliver unto you first that Jesus Christ died, buried, rose again. That's what people call Paul's gospel. That's it. You know what that is? That's Jesus' gospel right there, that he died, buried, died, and rose again. So when somebody says you're going to be judged by Paul's gospel, and they accept that, most of them think, yes, it says right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 8, that's we're going to be judged. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15. That's not true. We will be judged by Paul's work. That's his gospel. But God says through Paul, gospel, God's words, God's spelling, that kind of a thing. So, we will be judged by Paul's teachings. Paul's gospel includes Jesus Christ dead, buried, rose again. Includes trust and faith in Him. Includes joy, peace, all that stuff. It also includes the do's and the don'ts that are in there. It doesn't say two ordinances. It says all these things that Paul taught, we're to follow. We are to follow these things. Not just two, not just one. Everything that Paul teaches, we're going to be judged on that. We're going to be judged based on Titus chapter 2. We're going to be judged based on Titus chapter 1. We're going to be judged based on 1st, 2nd Timothy. We're going to be judged based on Ephesians. What's in Ephesians? Doctrine. Not much there to be judged on. Sure is good stuff, though. So, that tells me that our judgment that we're going to exhibit should be based on Paul's gospel. Paul's teachings. Not the Beatitudes. Not what Jesus taught in the Gospels. Not what Moses taught in the law. Not on what Noah taught. Not on what Abraham said. We're going to be judged by what Paul said, and we're going to judge in return by what Paul says. Paul says I'm not even to make a decision whether somebody is saved. I don't know if somebody's saved or not, but I can make some thoughtful judgment calls, thinking that that person sure doesn't act like he's saved based on Paul's teachings. That's all it is. I'm not judging him for being lost or saved, but his testimony is such that that's not a salvation testimony. You want to judge? Are you judging a Catholic for going to hell, being saved or lost? No, I'm not going to judge that Catholic for going to, whether he's saved or not. But I'll tell you what: if he's trusting the Catholic doctrine, he's lost. It's not a judgment call. I'm basing that on fact. A Lutheran, is a Lutheran saved? Not if he's following the Lutheran doctrine. It's not a judgment call. It's just that the Lutheran doctrine teaches that baptism is what saves you, and the communion is what gives you the Holy Ghost. So there's a false teaching again. The communion's got so many false denominational teachings. Who's right? Paul's right. It's not there. Baptism doesn't save you. I mean, all this kind of stuff. Well, then if you're trusting your baptism to save you, then I'm going to tell you that you're lost. Am I making a judgment call? No. I'm just telling you that if you're basing your teaching, your belief on your denominational teaching, you're false. Listen, if you want to follow Baptist teachings, I can show you according to the Bible some problems with that. I'm not judging you for it. I'm just telling you the fact. I'm preaching. I'm teaching. I'm showing the Word. Doing the work of an evangelist. That's what we all do. I don't know where that little stir came from, but it was there. So we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 then that Paul is our builder. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10 down to 15, and it just tells us that Paul's the master, he's a wise master builder. So we base our judgment on the things that we do and the building materials that we're going to put upon this foundation. We're going to base those on Paul's teachings. You know what that takes? That takes a judgment call. That takes a judgment. So if what you did last night or what you're going to do tonight or what you're going to do tomorrow morning ought to be based on Paul, or it's going to burn. That's just the way it is. Well, is it a big deal if it's going to burn? Well, it will be someday. Is it a good testimony? Is it a good example? What do you teach your children through these things? Is it going to cause them to stumble? Blah, 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 blah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the backup verse for the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I mean, Jason and these guys get this out on the street all the time, that you're judging us, who are you to judge? And that's probably the one scripture these people know out there. Judge not that ye be judged. How's that go? I can't remember that thing. Judge not that ye be not judged. You're judging us. Kind of stuff. And sadly to say, a lot of street preachers are judging them. And that's wrong. That is wrong. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, knowing that he's talking to Christians, this isn't the whole world. This is just to Christians. This is not to the whole world. The rest of the world, the lost world, has a white throne judgment. We don't have that. We'll be there, but we'll be in the bleachers serving the Lord. Daniel chapter 9, I think, has that. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, that narrows it down to good or bad. Okay? What's good or what's bad about it? Let's see. WWPS, I think it is. What would Paul say? Not what would Jesus say. If you want to be very specific, yes it is. You would have to go WWRSS. What would the risen Savior say? You can try that bracelet. You want to make a bracelet like that, Olivia, and just Olivia? WWRSS. What would the risen Savior say? Oh, TP at the end. There we go. WWRSSTP. What's that? Through Paul. What would the risen Savior say through Paul? KJB. They had this whole thing wrapped. You'll have like a whole arm thing wrapped by the time you're done with this friendship bracelet. What would the risen Savior say through Paul in my King James Bible? 1611 RD. What would the risen Savior say through Paul in my King James Bible rightly divided? This is a test of the mind here now. WWRSSTPKJB1611RDNTW. What would the risen Savior say through Paul in the King James Bible, rightly divided in Tushy, Washington? 1611. By MP. File F at www.tushy1611.org. I mean, that's where you check things. This is crazy. Anyway. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. So we're making these judgment calls about what's good or bad based on Paul's teachings. If I go to Matthew chapter 5, I pull out some of those Beatitudes in there, that's not going to make it through the judgment seat because that is not what we're told to do. Now, if that's backed up by Paul's teachings, then sure it will. So anyway. So they will accuse us of being judging, of being judgmental. Look at Galatians 4:17. They zealously affect you, but not well. You hang around these people that bug you for judging and all this kind of stuff, it wears you down after a while, doesn't it? It just does. You got to go to these things and you got to keep your mouth shut. I have been thinking the last couple weeks that some of the reasons my stress has been picking up like it has over this. I'm tired of not saying what I used to say. Not like I used to say. I don't miss that. But I want to talk to people about these things, and you find yourself, don't you find yourself holding back anymore because you know what's going to happen. You know they're not going to get it. You know they're going to get mad at you. You know they're going to hit you for judging. So you just stay away from the whole thing. And he says, they zealously affect you. They're going to bug you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you. What are you doing there? Because if you're going to be who you're supposed to be, they don't want you there. Because you might affect them. But after a while, if they realize you're not going to affect them, you know what? You're welcome there. And that's a sad thing, to be welcome at these things, because you're supposed to affect these people. Not by judging, not by saying things, not to get in an argument, just who you are. You're a Christian, Bible-believing Christian, Paul-following, rightly divided, 1611, in Tushy Baptist Church. You know, that's what you are. So, if they want to hit you up for being judgmental, did you say anything about their salvation when you told them, well, I follow Paul, rightly divided Bible, King James Bible only? Well, are you saying I'm not saved? When did I say that? Am I judging you for your salvation? What's going on here? You go someplace and you're covered from head to toe, eyebrows to toenails, and I don't mean by paint. I mean by clothes and shoes. And somebody else comes up, and you look like you just got off the plane from Alaska. You know? One of those things. And you know what they're thinking? Because they're wearing pencils and pens, and that's about all they got on. And and they just spent $50 million to have all the open air fixed, you know. Where cheap clothes would have done the job a whole lot cheaper. And they think you're judging them. So you keep showing up like that, they're not going to want to be around you. And if you keep showing up at those kind of places, it's going to affect you. You think they're going to start putting on clothes and all that stuff? No, you're going to start doing you're going to get out your paintbrushes and do all that stuff too. And before you know it, you are zealously affected in a bad way. Or if you stick to it, you won't be welcome there. That's how that thing works out. Are you judging? I'm not judging anybody. You want me to judge you? Give me 10 minutes. I can do a very good job of that. But that's not what we're supposed to do. There we go. Get that background hum out of the way here. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. And not only when I'm present with you. So with or without your Bible, with or without your pastor, with or without the Paul being there type of a thing, you know the Lord's in you, so we ought to be what we ought to be. And we're not judging anybody for that at all. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Am I too loud for the Webb family? Second Corinthians chapter 5, probably pretty quiet on the website though. Don't mean it to be. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore, I see, there you go. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You ever think about that terror of the Lord thing? Ever just let that ring a little bit? What hell must be? To find out you were wrong? I mean, it's forever. I mean, there's no... Oh, it's just scary. Ever. I mean, forever. It's not that... And it's not just a slight burn. I mean, your body is gnashing teeth. And that's got to just be... That's just got to be scary. Oh. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord... We persuade men. That's what we're trying to tell you. We're persuading men. But we are made manifest unto God. That's good. And I trust also... are made manifest in your consciences. You know what that means? That means you believe what you're saying. And you're saying what you believe. You're dressing the way you believe, not to appear righteous, but to, this is how you. This is who you are. Your conscience is... If somebody hears you say something you shouldn't have said, you slipped, or you throw something in a temper, or you're wearing something because you had some kind of a flimsy, stupid excuse because, well, nobody's going to be there, or it's hot, or in this kind of junk, or you, I'll be careful, and you drop your keys, and you bend over and you get your keys, and the whole room lights up, and all this kind of stuff. If that doesn't make you feel bad, then I believe you got a problem. Because he says right there, we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. That should bother you that somebody saw something, heard something, saw you somewhere. That should bother you if we are who we're supposed to be as a serious Christian. Does it bother a child to be seen doing something wrong sometimes? Not always. But see, we're not supposed to be children. Look at Romans chapter 2. We're talking about judging here. Nobody's judging anybody, but you're judging yourself. And then that will show up to other people. They'll see it in you. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness? Can you imagine that? Despise the riches of God's goodness? How can you despise the fact that He took care of sin? How could you despise that? I would rather confess my own sins, thank you. Is that stupid? Excuse me. Is that... That's stupid. that's a child. No offense. No offense to children here, but the snooker just isn't there yet. Just I don't care how much your parents, as I did, tell your kids that they got all the right judgment. Here's all the stuff you need to hear. Here you can listen to the gossip and the rumor too, because you can make good judgments too. Been there, done that with my kids. All this kind of stuff. No, they're just kids. Get your doll and go play outside. You know, get your little toy tractors and drive your little, make your little crop out there in the dirt, because someday you'll have your own big tractor that you can drive in the big dirt and do the real crops. But right now you're just a kid, little kid. And I'm 20 years old. Well, you know what? You're just slowly coming to life. We've been over that scientifically and scripturally as well. But anyway, whatever. Can you imagine despising the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? How could God be so long-suffering? I despise His long-sufferingness. Well, how old were you when you got saved and figured this stuff out? Oh, about 45, 50 years. Aren't you glad for God's long-suffering? Well, yeah, for me, but not for them. They need to die right now and go to hell. How could you despise God's long-suffering? So that's what happens. Knowing that, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's judgment call, by the way. The goodness of God is a judgment call. You're judging when you talk about the goodness of God. And they get mad. Are you judging them? No. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 22. I tell you, people have got this judging thing really mixed up today. And the Bible believers are just as guilty, if not more so. They'll stand on a street corner and judge everybody in that stand out there that they're going to hell because they're queer or they're lesbian or they're not dressed right or they're at a Mormon convention or they're at a race. Hey, I'd like to go to see race cars. I'd like to go to a NASCAR race. I'd like to see some of these engines that are 550, what do they call those days? Oh, well, I don't know how they talk about cars. Nowadays, cars sound like just hyped-up sewing machines. You ever heard that? These little guys get up in the morning, boom, 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 out front. That just sounds like a fat bee is all that stuff does. Get a good GTO or a good Chevy something or other. I missed the Kent's truck going down to get the water. You know, with the front flames coming out of the side there. You know, really, I think you need more room at your farm. I think you need to park that thing right over here. Right out front here. Next time that rooster starts roosting, I want to go out there and start up that truck and I'm just warming it up. How did I get into that? What's that?
We'll bring it down tomorrow.
Yeah, but how did I get into that? Isn't that a good sign? Yeah, but I got to know the trail to get back on it. Yeah, I look like little food droppings, or food things back there. Don't go there. Stop it. I've got Jason out there listening. He's my little piglet. Yeah, there we go, piglet. Romans 11:22. That's where we were going. Romans 11:20. I probably should just stop now, but we can make it last a little longer. Romans 11:22. Judging. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. In Romans chapter 11, we're talking about the Jews and the Gentiles here. Romans chapter verse 22 says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. We know both, don't we? On them which fell severity, that's the Jews in the wilderness, etc. That's somebody who dies without God. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also shall be cut off. Now, is that a verse there that shows that we can lose our salvation? Boy, that's sure what that looks like. But that's talking about the Gentile nation there. Romans chapter 11 is about the Jews and the Gentile nation. So the Gentile nation, we keep dinging like we're doing here. One of these days, God's going to go, you know, I'm done with you Gentiles. I've given you everything. I've given you my goodness. I've given you my long-suffering. And if you're not careful, I'm going to pull the plug and I'm going back to my Jews. That's what that is all about. So as a nation, God will cut us off eventually. That's when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So, you know what that is? That's a judgment call. Well, God, He can make that. He's God. He can do that. But see, He's told us how to do that also, and He's told us to do it to ourselves. Not the brethren, if they're brethren. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. You really going to bring the truck by tomorrow? I think I'll just drive to Walla Walla and back. Of course, what do you get, 1 gallon per mile? Is that how?
You might make it down back.
Yeah. Second Timothy chapter 2. Why am I thinking I'm going to wake up in the morning at 4 o'clock with the truck out in front of the house? I just got this feeling. No, Austin, what time do you guys get up? 11. Okay, I can handle that. No, don't bring the truck down. I'll just do what I did when Dad gave me the car. Go punch a couple of holes in the muffler and see if that works. It didn't work then either, but it still made Dad pretty unhappy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. What does that mean? Show them the book. Show them the verses. Show them rightly dividing. Do you know that in the past couple months, people I've talked to, the one thing they still don't want to do is they still do not want to open up their Bible and show me where I'm wrong or show me what they say is right. Well, it says, show me where it says that. And they won't do that. And I'm not judging them for that. I'm just telling people, listen, show me where it says that. And I'll show you, I'm not making this up. I'll show you, I'm not making this up. So we're apt to teach. We need to teach people what this Bible says. Patient. Not very good at that, but we need to be patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Well, the meekness part, that's hard enough. I'm not any barn burner, not at all. I'm a musician. You know, if somebody says the wrong thing, I cry. If I say the right thing, I cry because I'm so excited. I got a phone call yesterday, 2 days ago, from Brian Brickle. Remember him up in Michigan? And he said, Pastor, I just have to call you. I always call when I got a problem. He says, I got to call you and tell you, this has been a great day of witnessing. I've been telling people about the Bible, about Paul rightly dividing. He says, nobody cares. Nobody's interested. He says, but it was so fun. It just helped me realize I'm right. This whole thing about this rightly dividing the Bible thing, this is it. There's power in that kind of a presentation. He says, it doesn't even bother me that they didn't get it. They heard it. They've had their chance. And he was just flying high. He's enjoying that stuff. He and his daughter are having a great time. Said they haven't watched TV for a couple of years. The clothes are changing. They're having a great time. Nobody else is interested. He's had to rebuke a couple of his friends and say, listen, this is what the Bible says, and this is where we're going to stand. And one of the ladies went after his daughter when he wasn't there. And the daughter is a teenager getting ready to graduate. She's old enough to take care of herself in that realm. And she said something back to this lady, and the lady got mad, and Brian said, hey, listen, you don't go to my... And he just went after this lady. All right, Brian. We need that kind of a man around. That's what he's got. He's excited. So he was... But knowing Brian, he's still very, very meek about it. He said, the Scriptures did the job, not me. So, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, they are their own enemy. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, if people would just acknowledge that this is the Word of God, King James Bible, rightly divided, following Paul, God will show them things that, amen, have you not seen things? I mean, really. But haven't you seen some things that you would not have seen if you hadn't initially established Paul rightly dividing? I mean, you look at this verse, boy, that rings so much of Paul. Why didn't I see that before? Because before, you didn't realize about Paul. So, you acknowledge that truth and God will show us that. That's exactly what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, I think it is, run around, probably around 9 or 10, where he talks about having your eyes enlightened. It isn't just because you had a King James Bible. You can be as blind as a bat with a King James Bible if you don't rightly divide that thing. You can teach false doctrine. They're doing it. The Baptists believe a false doctrine based on a wrongly divided King James Bible. So do the Lutherans. So do the Catholics. So do the Mormons. So does anybody else. So do the Baptists. They don't do that Bible right. Based on the Bible, not my teachings, of course. Then we see here that 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just so we know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we don't go to somebody's house crawling up their sidewalk and softly tapping on the door and begging, can we come in please and can we like to talk to you? We sure don't want to hurt your feelings, blah, 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 blah. Look what happens in 1 Thessalonians 2:2. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. You don't quit because somebody gets mad. You don't quit because somebody hits you up on being judgmental. Just don't be judgmental in return and just have long-suffering patience. You know the whole spiel, right? Remember that whole thing? What happens when you get some things fixed in your life? You depart from some certain thing in your life? You despise that, don't you? You finally, you quit me. I'll use me again. Nobody can get mad at me for picking on you. I despise television. I despise videos. Why? I breathe more TV and videos than I did air as a kid and as an adult. And I still get tempted at that sometimes. So don't invite me over for a movie, even if it's a good movie. That's just a really good movie. And there's food present. But no, I despise what it's doing to our kids. I despise what it's doing to their brains. I've given movies to people. I've given movies back to people because they've asked me to watch them, and I realize it's a modern Christian movie, and I just kind of get in trouble for it because I'm judging. I'm not judging. I just don't want to watch this here. Please, you know, kind of a thing. But you go down this Paul's pattern. Must be cancer. That happens up there. Paul's pattern. You depart from something, you learn to despise it. And you don't wait to despise it because you'll never depart. But you depart, you quit something, you despise that thing, you destroy the magnificence of it. There's prayer, there's tears, there's grace and truth. This is for other people that are involved. There's grace and there's truth. There's grace, but you still have to have truth about it when you talk to people. Mercy, long-suffering. Then comes rebuke. Then comes reproof. Then comes get away from the people if you have to. Because, see, you are going to stand as your judgment seat, not them. When the time comes, you got to pull the plug, you pull the plug, and if that doesn't work, you ship them off to the West. That's where they're going to go. They're going to go off to the world. And I look at that as Paul's pattern. I haven't added anything to that lately. But it's very important. Because it says right here in that thing back in Thessalonians, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. You don't want to contend. You want to show them. To go out there and purposely contend, you're taking a verse out of Jude, which is a tribulation. They're going to have to contend earnestly for their faith in the tribulation. Why? Because they can lose it. And you want somebody to get it. You've got to contend with them. The only contention we have today is because only by what cometh contention? Only by what? There's only one thing that Bible tells us. The reason there's a fight going on right now, no matter what it is, near as I can tell, there's only one thing that causes that contention, and that is pride. Somebody's got some pride in them that makes them angry or makes them want to fight. And you want to sit down and you show somebody rightly dividing, want to show somebody Paul's judgment, what Paul teaches about judging, and not judging others, but judging yourself and what they throw at you, and you want to get into this stuff, you ought to be able to do that. Like a human being, talk to them, show them this, show them that. They ought to be able to show you their stuff and back, but they can't, and they won't. But what will they give you? Anger. Contention. They'll shut you out to quit listening. That's the way it is. Now, so Paul says that there is judgment. For we're just not supposed to judge the brethren. But you fixing your life and changing some things is going to make you look like you're judging the brethren. And there's a fine line when you talk about everybody else. You talk about this and that. You talk about them and there. And you can learn some things, and there's probably you can justify stuff like that. But how often is it just judging other people? And even if you say, I'm not judging them for it, but did you know that? Then that gets in that busybody thing, which is just as bad. Paul says to do what with the things that are in the past? Forget about it. Go forward. Just go forward. It's not that easy to do. But we should. Look at Acts chapter 17, 31, and we'll finish up here pretty quick. Got a couple more verses I want to show you that are just kind of, I call them odds and ends verses from Paul. They don't fit into my little parade of verses here, but they need to be mentioned. Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Well, yeah, Jesus Christ is going to be the judge, of course. And it says, that whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's the issue. Acts 17:31. And when verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. You know what people don't like to hear about? They don't like to hear about the risen Savior. And like Paul said, I'm perplexed at that. These are Christians. So these are what they call Christians, and they believe that Jesus died and rose again. And you want to teach them what the risen Savior says, and they think you're crazy. Is that not right? It's like, hello, I can't do the hello thing. I hate that. That's a what's your name thing. Isn't that crazy? Hello, isn't that crazy? Is it crazy? Hello? Just say, uh-huh. Oh, there we go, thank you. That's the start. Uh-huh. I'm glad we don't run around the building because we haven't got room for all the wheelchairs. You know? But listen, these are Christians who believe that Jesus was God and He died. They don't believe He went to hell, but they died anyway, and He kind of hid in a cave or something. Then He came out and did His thing, and then He's now He loves everybody and He's forgiven everybody. No, this is a risen Savior that has told us what He wants us to know, and they think that we're just nuttier than fruitcakes. You want a communion with God? Read your Bible. He gave us a Bible. People think you still got a chunk and drink. You want to get clean? You got to take a spiritual bath in a bathtub that's saying this makes it holy water. That's just Catholic teaching. That's all that stuff is. That just amazes me. So this whole thing about that He has raised Him from the dead is what made people mad in Paul's day. It still makes them mad today. Even though they believe that He rose, they don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me about that. Let's go back to the cross where He's in pain and misery and He's dying on the cross. Let's go back and study that. No, let's study beyond the cross. Come on, people. Man, why? They're not going to hell because they're queers. They're going to hell because they rejected Jesus Christ. They don't want what He teaches in His resurrection. Because the resurrected Jesus, you know what He says? He says to cover up. You don't have to. You can run around like a jaybird out there if you like, but nowadays it's pretty gross and pretty ugly. I don't know why you want to do that. I mean, come on, from the head to toe, we got problems. Why don't you just cover that stuff up and I'll fix you later? That's a practical way of looking at this stuff today. And you pay more money for less clothing. That takes a brain, too. You could probably get a parka for a buck. Anyway, look at Romans 3:49. You're being judgmental of people. No, I'm not. I'm trying to show you how stupid you look, for one thing. You know? You look like the world. Why do you want to look like the world? Why do you talk and act like the world? The risen Savior teaches you stuff. Austin and Sam, the risen Savior can help you do the cows and whatever you do someday. He can do that, you know. He can help you design a what do you call your combines, the tip and all that stuff? The what? The hills. You don't you want to make a hillside lawnmower? Wasn't that part of your designs in life? Go for it. He won't give you the plans, but he'll say, hey, good idea. You know? It's okay. You can still know the risen Savior and still make tractors. You can do that. It's okay. If you do it through Paul. Romans 3:49. What is this one? Romans 3:49. These are just odds and ends as we wrap this up. 3:49 set. 3:49? Well, maybe it's 9. Maybe it's 4 to 9. I don't know what it is here. Let's see here. There it is, 4 to 9. Let's look at that thing. 4 to 9, 4-9, yeah. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to be like some of those fancy preachers, because I'd have been fired years ago with my lack of suaviness here. God forbid, yet let God be true. Oh, I remember this, yep, 4-9. But every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Okay, because we're a liar, we got a Bible that's not a lie. So we can look to this Bible to show the truth. If they have to believe our opinion, what are we? We are liars. LD, you're a liar. Did you know that? You're a liar. You liar. Dave. Louie. You guys are nothing but liars. Can't trust you for nothing. Then you're sitting up there down there thinking, well, hey, preacher guy, you're a bigger liar than anybody. Well, I got you by weight, but I'm a liar. I'm a liar. Livia, I'm a liar. Do you know that I'm a liar? But this book is not a lie. And because we're liars, that book is that much more true. Next time I tell you that you played that piece really good, you know what that is? That's a lie. Because I always want you to do it better. If you got one pause in there and I say, oh, you did that very well, you know what I did? I lied. You want me to tell you the truth in a piano lesson? See, they even want me to lie. So don't give me grief if you tell, say, a pastor's a liar. But I'm okay with that because, you know, I don't want them to tell me the truth. Okay, I will be 100% honest tomorrow. You ready for that? It's your piano lesson. Smart girl, no commitment. She's got adult womanhood already on the start. Anyway, it gets better though. Verse 5. How was dinner? Well, there you go, Louie. How was dinner tonight when they ask you? Oh, here's one. Get ready. How do I look? If you've never lied before, you're about to. Oh, I like that outfit. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, very nice, very nice. I like my hair. Never seen it better. Where'd it go? Doesn't matter. It's beautiful. You know. You like my toes? Oh, I like black. I like that. That's pretty. Yeah. Well, that's not paint. Oh, okay. Sorry. We're liars. We are still here. Proves that we are a liar. Good sermon. You liar. Most people that have quit, by the way, in my experience, have told me that they like the sermons before they quit. I think they're trying to convince themselves. Seriously. Don't go there. But if our unrighteousness, verse 5, commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just? What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. That's just the way it is. We'll pick that up tonight right there.